Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
All right, 302, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Talking a little bit of baseball. We've talked a little bit about the NBA Finals as well, and because of the injury to Halliburton, what that means for the New York Knicks. Another story that, you know, I don't know why people get so upset. Listen, you want to use it, and I'm sure Rick Carlisle wasn't all that upset about it, but he's going to use it for motivation. Tell me how you would feel about it. I know there's touching the money and things like that, but there's a story out there, and I guess it's, you know, true. There's a video evidence of it. But before the game, the Oklahoma City Thunder painted the buses that they would use for the parade and had 2025 champions on it getting ready for a parade if need be. And I don't know how I would feel about it if I were a Oklahoma City fan. Like, I don't think, I mean, the team isn't doing anything. They're getting ready in case they need a parade and buses and stuff. Like, is it touching the money to do that? I don't know. Have we seen, you know, teams get champagne carted to their rooms and into their clubhouses and starting to put up the protective plastic and everything? I mean, we all know they make championship apparel. Like, as soon as the Super Bowl is over, there is the commercial selling the commemorative football and all this stuff. Like, and we know that there are, you know, third world nations across this country wearing Buffalo Bills Super Bowl championship shirts. Like, oh, would you be that upset? Obviously, if you're a Pacers fan, I get it. But if you're a Oklahoma City Thunder fan, how would you feel about the buses being all ready to go for a parade before Game 7 is even played? And clearly, Rick Carlisle mentioned it in the pregame, talked about that's the only, he saw a video of it, and that's the only thing he could think about at the moment, is how the championship parade was already, they're already underway getting it ready. Now, I don't know how long it takes to get that ready. I don't know how quickly they're going to prepare that, but I don't know. It seems like nothing to get that upset about. I understand why Rick Carlisle is getting upset about it, but, like, I don't know. It's just, you know, the PR, the promotions department or whatever, getting ready for something that could be necessary. I don't know. Fleegs, would you be that upset if the Mets were in the World Series, right? The Mets are in the World Series. It's Game 7 of the World Series, and you see, you know, there's video of out in the underbelly of Citi Field, them, you know, putting decals all over buses for a championship parade. How would you feel about it?
I'd be furious. Because here's the thing. I like, you're right. Maybe the staffers have to do it.
Yeah.
And they have to start prepping.
Yeah.
You have to find a way.
To,
like,
make
in this
sure
day
nobody
and age,
sees it. Yeah.
It can't leak.
It can't leak. I know. Now, these are big buses.
And also, like, I mean, when's the parade? Like, they could probably do it tomorrow. They want to, if they win, they want to celebrate. But if it has to happen, you can't let video get out.
No, I know. I'm kind of poo-pooing it because I knew that would be your answer. Obviously, I'm being sarcastic. I know the fan
and the base. Mets are one of the most would famous be examples, though, of going the other way.
Right.
When they 86. Flashed in 86.
Yeah.
Congratulations, 1986 World Series champion Boston Red Sox on the screen. They went the reverse jinx, but yeah, like, this can't happen. I mean, imagine if, like, this was one of the,
like,
the Mets,
well,
account,
I can tell you,
like,
right
one
now,
of the first teams around here. Let's say the Knicks do get to the finals next year.
Yeah.
They go through a weakened East. They're up, you know, against the team. They're hope because the East is weak. They have home court advantage.
Yeah.
Game 7, that leaks right before the Garden. They're playing the Thunder, the Rockets, whoever.
Yeah,
there's not a Knicks fan alive, including you, who would not feel uneasy.
No, there's no doubt about it.
They'd either be ticked off, like furious, or sick.
Yeah, I totally agree that that's going to be the sentiment of most of the fan base. And I can tell you this: I don't often you know, get into the if George were here, but I can promise you that either that would have never happened, or everybody associated with putting those...
They'd be fired.
They'd be fired immediately. They wouldn't even be... He wouldn't even let them... he wouldn't even pay them to take it down. He would hire someone else to strip the bus. Like, he wouldn't even let them do that. He would just tell them to get the hell out of there immediately. But I don't get hung up on stuff like this. I don't know why. I just, that's the kind of thing where I'm just like, I understand why they could probably wait. You can't let it get out. And it's not like it matters. Like, that's the other thing too. Like, the idea that Rick Carlisle and the Indiana Pacers needed extra motivation for game 7 of the NBA Finals. Like, that's when I get, like, I mean,
this team of all teams that's been defying everybody for months.
Yeah, that's been, like, on this incredible run. There's no lead that's too great against the Indiana Pacers. And, like, the idea, they went into this game like, yeah, I think we can win. But then, oh, man, you see those buses? Let's go! Like, I can't imagine that would be a real... Now, you say it publicly or whatever, I guess, and maybe you try and motivate your team with it. Why not? You use everything at your disposal if you're a head coach. But the idea that the Indiana Pacers wouldn't come out with everything they have to win an NBA championship anyway, I don't know. I don't get hung up on this stuff, but I can imagine. And it's not my fan base. I get it. It's not my team. I don't disagree. If there were pictures of the New York Knicks getting ready, especially the Knicks too, or even the Mets, let's be honest, and I'm not trying to be a smug Yankee fan, for the teams who haven't won in a long time. I mean, the Rangers haven't won since 94, same thing. Like, if a team that really hasn't won in a long time, and it's getting there for the New York Yankees, I'm not trying to dismiss the idea that 2009 is too long, but we have, if you're my age, I've seen 5 championships. But, like, if you're a franchise like the Knicks, the Mets, the Rangers, the Islanders.
I mean, like, they wouldn't be able to host a championship game, maybe a conference championship. If this happened with the Jets, people would say, don't even play the game. No, we know the result.
But it wouldn't even matter that Beningo got his 4th hole in one. He would be absolutely beside himself. Can you imagine if Beningo, what? They did what, bro?
Yeah, he gets the call from Ira or Tom Keenan before the game. Yeah. Like, the Jets just did this?
Yeah.
Then he would say what I just said. Don't even play the game. We know.
It is pretty stupid.
Other team's quarterback is hurt. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It is pretty stupid. You cannot have that leak. If you're going to do it, you got to do it. But you
do it this morning and then cover the buses.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Something. But that is a bad look from Oklahoma City. But it doesn't matter because those buses are going to be in use, as they ended up winning the game and are the NBA champions. 888-808-1019. I don't know. I know people get hung up on that kind of stuff. I don't know why I don't for some reason, but I could imagine if it impacted me, maybe I feel differently. But from afar, I mean, it's not like they're saying, ha, 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 we're going to win. But I can imagine how it would feel if it were the Knicks. I would not be happy. Let's go to Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve? You're on the Fan.
Well, you know what? You could say they got busted. You know, and before we put the Knicks in the finals, can we please get a coach?
Yeah, I mean,
can we please have a coach?
Well, I mean, yeah, they're the third favorite to win the championship. In some books, they are the favorite to make it to the NBA finals, and they don't have a coach.
Incredible. So, you know, you're talking about Clint Frazier, all right?
Yes.
I haven't heard it. I mean, I didn't hear it. You know what? I'm wondering who cares what that guy has to say about the Yankees. They gave him opportunity.
Oh, no doubt.
They traded for him for a reason.
No doubt.
And he was given ample opportunity. And he had terrible. It's not, you know what?
And it's not like he's had success. It's not like he went somewhere else and had success.
Yeah, but wait. Analytics had nothing to do with him running into the wall.
No.
And having terrible, you know, brain injury. I mean, that has nothing to do with it. So in a way, I kind of feel bad that he feels that way.
Well, I mean, I feel bad for him because I don't disagree with you. I think partly his career was derailed by the injury to his head, the concussions. No doubt, it played a major factor in him not becoming the player he could have possibly become.
No question. And then just one thing about the NBA. I want to make one thing about it. Say one thing about Adam Silver. This guy, he was overconfident. And he's been overconfident in a lot of different ways. And it showed in the ratings of the finals, okay? Because I think that as many people, you know, heard about Clint Frazier's who were watching the NBA finals, I'm sure it got a very low rating number, all right? And, you know, the idea that the NBA was not, that's a national sport, versus a regional sport,
mm-hmm.
they're going to have to rethink a lot of things down there at the office.
Well, I mean, they are, and thank you for the call, Steve. They've been reactionary. They've tried this tournament. They're trying. They recognize the issue. Before the NBA Finals started, they talked about, you know, Silver was talking to the media about, hey, you know, nobody cares who plays in the Super Bowl. Doesn't matter what market. The NFL has become a brand on its own, and it doesn't matter whether it's obviously Kansas City's been wildly successful. It doesn't matter what the market is. And nobody quibbles about, oh man, I got to watch this team in the Super Bowl. Nobody says that. And I know it's different in a 7-game setting, and the NFL is king, but they're trying to get to that. And I actually thought it was a really good product. Like the NBA Finals was pretty good. Game 7, the games were pretty good. Some blowouts, but the games were pretty good for the most part. I thought they had a really good postseason. We saw come-from-behind victories. We saw big, you know, leads blown. We've seen buzzer-beater shots. We saw a lot. I thought they played really well. But, yeah, the numbers in the NBA Finals are down. Oklahoma City and the Indiana Pacers don't excite anybody. SGA is the MVP. I don't know if he's a star just yet. I don't know if he moves the needle just yet. He's a great player. He's probably going to get there, but I don't know if he moves the needle just yet, and clearly the Indiana Pacers don't.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
And they try everything. I mean, they literally try everything. So Adam Silver has a problem, I suppose. But, you know, he's a progressive thinking. I hate some of the stuff he's done. I hate the tournament. I do. I don't think it hurts necessarily. I just don't think it helps at all. And I have no interest. Like, I don't follow it at all. There's not an ounce of me that follows it. I don't even know. Until I turn the game on and the court is some hideous all-color blue, red, or something, and it hurts my eyes, I don't even know that game is scheduled to be a in-tournament game. I have no interest in it whatsoever.
So if the new Knicks coach wins that, doesn't count for you?
That would actually be tremendous. Can you imagine the new Knicks head coach wins the in-season tournament, and we're talking about it's the first championship, the Knicks? There will be fans who say that. There'll be fans who say, ah, clearly this is now the answer. He's won the first championship for the Knicks since 1973. I actually want to see it happen now just for the chaos. But honestly, would you care? Like, Knicks fans, we're going through this coaching search and all the, like, would you honestly care if the Knicks were in the finals of the midseason tournament? Like, we'd watch it because it's a game and... But like, would it make you feel anything other than the Knicks won a basketball game if they won it? Like, would you want to? I don't want them to hoist a trophy that's not a real trophy. Like, I remember watching it. I guess it was this year that Milwaukee won, right? Was it last year? Whichever year Milwaukee won, I think it was this year. I don't even know. I think it was this year. Maybe it was last year. Who beat the Atlanta? Wasn't the Atlanta Hawks who went to the finals this year? I know they beat the Knicks, and then he rolled the dice and. I don't even know who won, but whichever year the Bucks won, they're interviewing Giannis on the
court.
It had
to be this year, because didn't the Lakers win the first one?
Yeah, it was. It's only the second year of it, right?
I'm pretty sure this was only the second year.
I think it's only the second year. So it was this year, because you're right. The Lakers won the first one. So it must have been this year.
We can give you the champion of like the actual sport going back, what, 25, 30,
absolutely.
40 years?
Yeah, yeah.
This, how many have there been?
No, I have no idea. So, but I was watching them celebrate, and I'll never forget. And it just, I don't know why it hit me. So it would have, like we talk about what infuriated, this would have infuriated me more than stupid buses and decals on the buses for a championship. They're holding up this trophy. They're all in center court. The confetti's falling. They're interviewing Giannis. Giannis, what do you think about this championship? Oh, it's great. You know, blah, blah, blah. You know, we all understand we still have more to do. Like, yeah. You have more. We still have more to do. Now, that's what you say after you win the Eastern Conference Finals. You don't say we still have more to do when you win a meaningless tournament in November. Or whatever month it is. Might not even be November. Like, are we serious? We still know we have more to do. You haven't done anything. How can you have? I felt it always reminded me of Sandlot. Would you like a s'more? How can I haven't had any. How can I have some more? Like, what do you mean there's more to do? You haven't done anything. Of course there's more to do. There's always more than nothing. You've done nothing. There's more to do. Winning, you win the division, we have more to do. You win the ALCS, you win the Eastern Conference Finals, you win the AFC Championship game, we have more to do. You win some ridiculous tournament that means absolutely nothing in the middle of the season, and you stand there and tell the media, well, we know we have more to do? My God. Stuart in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
The Beatles had a song in 1960. Five.
Mm-hmm.
This movie, the title song was Help!
Yes.
I mean, please! But that championship means nothing.
No, I think.
They're the third favorite to win. To get to the finals next year with no coach?
They certainly are. With no coach, the Knicks, that's well, that's what happens when Indiana has a, obviously without Halliburton, and they're not going to be up there. The East is wide open. And they better get this coach right. They better get this coach. I don't know who the coach is going to be. It sounds like Jenkins right now. I don't know. Well, it felt like Brian out the gate. Then it felt like Jason Kidd. Now it feels like Jenkins. I don't know. I have no idea what they're doing. What they're thinking.
Do you want Jenkins?
No, I don't want. I mean, I don't not want him. I don't know him that well. I don't know all that much about him.
Can we talk to Danny or Jay?
Nah, I honestly don't want Danny Hurley.
I mean, but. You don't want Danny Hurley,
no.
Okay, would you want Wright?
Yes.
I would want Wright.
I don't think Dan Hurley, and this is not to knock him as a coach, and I don't know this for a fact. What do I know? Mm-hmm. Watching him, I feel like, and just watching his temperament, I think he's a college coach. I don't think he'd be successful in the NBA.
When he gets into a rage, oh my God!
I just don't think that works in the NBA.
He might
change his tenor. He might that's how he coaches college kids, and that might work. And obviously, it did. He's won back to back championships, and maybe he would change who he is at the NBA level. But you know what? I don't want a coach to have to come here and change who he is. I want him who he is because that's what won. But who he is, I don't know if it translates to the NBA game. So I would not want Danny.
Let me ask you, how about Gino
Auriemma?
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's nothing wrong. He's won a, he's been the most successful college coach in girls college basketball history. I mean, he's done an incredible job at UConn. If he wanted to make that jump, which I doubt very much he wants to do right now at this point in his life.
Would,
I mean, he's 70. He's 71 years old. I mean, it's not going to happen. I don't want to dismiss it because he has been a great head coach. But it's not going to happen. I don't think that would be the move. Who do I think is going to end up right now?
Who would you say is going to be with us with the Knicks?
I think it's gonna, right now. If I had to choose, I'd say I think it's going to be Jenkins because they've interviewed two guys. Thank you for the call, Stu. They interviewed two guys so far, or at least I believe they finished both interviews. But I don't know. The only names we've heard that they're going to talk to are Mike Brown and Taylor Jenkins, and I just can't imagine it being Mike Brown. So since this process started, and we heard like about Johnny Bryant, and you know, we've had, you know, guys who've been all over it. What's his name? Ian Begley has kind of been all over this thing from the beginning. And like as soon as this coaching search happened, he came out with the name Johnny Bryant. And it kind of felt out of nowhere to suddenly thrust his name into it. So from the beginning of this thing, I felt like Johnny Bryant was a real strong possibility as the head coach. I do believe they would like Jason Kidd to be the head coach. I don't know if that's possible. It sounds like it's not. We'll see if Jason Kidd really wants to rattle enough cages to possibly make that a reality. But so to me, I've always felt like Johnny Bryant was the guy, but they haven't announced talking to him yet. And Jenkins has a track record. He has head coaching experience. He did a good job in Memphis. I don't know enough about him to really feel like, okay, that's the guy. And explain to me how he's better than Tibbs. And you got to do a better job than Tibbs did. Have to. And now that the East is wide open like this, I mean, you have to get to an NBA Finals without question. Otherwise, it's a failing season. Lee in Brooklyn. What's up, Lee?
Hey, thank you. Speaking real quick. Oh man, what an awesome championship! I agree with you on that though. That last little point, I had to chime in on that one because I think that now the Knicks, I mean, with the Haliburton injury, you know, it was so sad to see him go down like that. You know, and you know, we wanted to see a complete championship. You know, but
of course,
I think OKC was probably would have still won it.
Heading into the game, it was tied at 16. I would have liked to have seen that game with him, but I don't disagree. I don't think it's not like they were up by 20 and then the injury happened and the game changed.
No. Listen, listen, that game was going to be a spectacular game. If that guy wouldn't have got hurt, man, listen, we don't know. It had a 50-50 chance for anybody to win. That's the way I felt about it. But I was like, you know, when he went down, I'm saying, okay, so you don't pull it together and win this. And you know Indiana really deserved that title. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that little point that you just made, man, that was awesome because, you know, the Knicks, now that Haliburton not there, they went to the NBA Finals, right? No, Eastern Conference Finals. And played Indiana and actually lost. So they basically got past everybody else. Boston's situation got the whole thing with Tatum going on.
Yep.
So it's a clear and open path. Now this whole thing with this coach situation, that's another issue. So we just gotta hope that you know, somebody come in. Like I said before, they always change coaches. But I like to know what you think about the whole thing, man, with the situation that the Knicks have this opportunity now to be able to get a chip.
Yeah, no, I feel it even stronger than I did prior. I wish Tibbs was still the head coach of the team. I know I got to get over that. I understand that. Last night was a new wrinkle, so I felt like bringing it up again. But the bottom line is they better get the coaching search right. They better get it right. Because, again, they're heading into a season now with as good an opportunity to win an NBA championship as they've had since 1994. And they're going into it now without a head coach and a search that has began in a embarrassing way in my mind, and I think the collective mind of the NBA universe. We could talk about, oh, it's just doing due diligence, and you know, Evan keeps telling me that they're doing they're handling exactly the right way. I can't imagine how you feel that way, but he does. I just have a tough time. They were stable, and I know when you say this, like maybe people get turned off, and that's why Tibbs had to go. But I knew what I was going to get from them. Now, they also beat the defending NBA champion Boston Celtics, and they were one bad game or one bad last 2.5 minutes of game one away from possibly beating the Indiana Pacers, who gave Oklahoma City everything they were worth. And now no Haliburton, and I just feel like it's a real opportunity to make sure that you know what you're going to get from this team and not go in with a wild card of whatever is going to work with this coach. What if it's a disaster? And then, like, this Knicks organization has not made a good hire outside of Thibodeau in forever. Go through the list of coaches, Hornacek, Fisher. Like, None. Larry Brown didn't work. Nobody works. They have not made a good hire in forever. And I expect them in this year, with so much on the line in a championship window, with now it being wide open, they're going to go in and hire a new coach and tell me he's got to be better than the last guy who got them to the Eastern Conference Finals? Like, and some of the same arguments still apply about what this job entails and the pressure that comes with it. And now, more than ever, the championship or bust, there is no excuse for not getting to the NBA Finals now. There is no excuse. You've got a Tatum-less Celtics team, a Halliburton-less Pacers team. You've got a fraud Cleveland team that doesn't play well in the postseason, that the Knicks have already beat and Tibbs beat 2 years ago. You've got a Dame Lillard-less Bucks team, which who even knows if Giannis is still on that team. You've got an upstart Pistons team who's only going to get better, and Cade Cunningham is going to be one of the better players in the NBA if he's not already. So, yeah. And, you know, Orlando made a big trade, and they should be better, and they had a nice season as well. So I'm not saying it's devoid of talent. But the top echelon teams that the Knicks have been competing with have taken major step backs because of injury. And their stars aren't going to be there. And instead of going into that season building off of last year, building with a head coach that we know can do this, trying to put a roster around him where maybe he can play a little bit more of a bench or would be willing to play a little bit more of a bench if you made the bench better and gave him an understanding of, hey, listen, the players, we've got to play the bench more. And give him a second year with this group with Karl Anthony Towns. Only a second year. He only had 1 year with this group, and he took them to the Eastern Conference Finals. Instead of giving that guy an opportunity this year, now that it seems so wide open, we're going to go into it with an unknown and an opportunity. And make no mistake, there is a chance it's a bad coaching hire. And there is a chance this doesn't fit. It's a chance. There's a chance it's worse. And I understand that, hey, if you feel like you've become stagnant, you got to take a chance. You feel like this thing has run its course, you can't just sit back and allow it to happen. You got to be bold. Fine. You got to be bold. Here's bold. This is the first time in 25 years they went as far, and now it feels like it's open, and I just want to know what I have. And who knows? They might be winning the midseason tournament with the best record in the Eastern Conference and getting the best out of Karl Anthony Towns, and I feel like, you know what? It's working. And maybe I was wrong, and this coach, whoever it is, clearly has got better out of Mikal Bridges, has gotten better out of the dynamic of Brunson and Cat. And you know what? We'll see. We'll take our chances. Nothing's guaranteed in the postseason, but this team looks better to me. It's more functioning than I was last year. And so maybe I was yelling about nothing that night in June. Or maybe it's not a great hire. This team flounders and spoils an opportunity to get to the NBA Finals, their best since 1999, and really the best chance to win a championship, maybe since 1994. But we'll see. The search is going swimmingly. I'm so excited for the possibilities that they might hire to replace Tibbs. It's just, I can't tell you, it's one great coaching candidate after another. It's just filled with all these guys who have NBA experience and have been, you know, to the NBA Finals, have played well, gone to, you know, teams to the postseason. Sure, you know, Mike Brown got to the NBA Finals. Sure, he did. He certainly did. With LeBron James. I could say that our coaches for 9 consecutive years getting to the NBA Finals with LeBron James in his prime. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. That's what I said. 9 straight. Any coach who coached LeBron made it to the NBA Finals. We'll see. I'm just not that pumped about it. And this is now without question. And this isn't about being excited for the injury. I'm not glad Halliburton got hurt. I felt terrible for the dude. Watching the game, I felt sick to my stomach. Because, you know, we've talked about it a little bit. We all know what it looks like. Like, there is no more secret. There's no more like, oh, I wonder what it could be. We know what Achilles injuries look like. We have become all too familiar with it. It's crazy how many guys rupture their Achilles. I don't know what's going on. If there's a doctor out there who could tell me why we're seeing so many Achilles tears, and specifically, like I was saying this before, the calf is now the scariest injury you can have. You cannot mess with a strained calf muscle. You can't mess with it. Look what it leads to over and over again. He was dealing with a calf injury, played through it in game 6. Game 7, tears his Achilles. Aaron Rodgers clearly dealing with a calf injury all of training camp. 4 snaps in, tears his Achilles. Kevin Durant during the NBA Finals with the Golden State Warriors. Dealing with a calf injury, tears his Achilles. But, I mean, Lillard tore it. Like, we are seeing so many Achilles. Jermaine Johnson, the Jets. Like, how many Achilles injuries are we seeing? I don't ever remember it. I remember, like, to me, the Vinny Testaverde injury, like, stands out. Like, his Achilles tear was, like, a big Achilles. Oh, he tore his Achilles. Like, that was, like, that doesn't happen. That's a devastating injury. I would say you can't get how many guys in the playoffs? 3. 3 Eastern Conference superstars tore their Achilles in this postseason. It's crazy. How many Achilles injuries we're seeing. So, listen, that's what we're learning. I'm terrified right now as a Yankee fan I know it was a hamstring, but it was early called a calf muscle injury. For Weaver, like you don't mess around with calves, man. That's becoming the most dangerous, the most dangerous minor injury right now is the calf muscle, because it is leading to these devastating season long Achilles ruptures. Hamstring, you'll live with however long it takes. Quad, you'll live with. Bicep strain, oblique strain, you'll deal with it. Calf muscle. I'm not playing anybody with a sore calf. You ain't coming back until you are 100%. 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll take your Nick calls. We've been talking a lot of baseball, obviously, as the Yankees get 2 of 3 from Baltimore. They go on the road to Cincinnati. Jazz Chisholm with a huge game. Yankees still not scoring enough runs, still making blunders on the base paths, but they did get a victory to salvage a 3-4 7-game homestand, which isn't good enough. They need to get better as they head to Cincinnati. And the Mets have now lost 8 of 9, lost 2 of 3 to Philadelphia. They are now a game behind Philly, and this offense ain't much better than the Yankees. As they pounded it out for 11 runs on Saturday, a bunch of home runs, but they followed up with another disappointing Sunday Night Baseball performance, lose the series, and they are just... they're not pitching as well as they have, and this offense and the lack of run hitting with runners in scoring position has been hindering it all year, and now it's really hurting it because the pitching isn't there to pick them up. And whether it's the inability of Jeff McNeil to do something with the bases, and that's where I thought this whole series really, there are moments, right? The Atlanta Braves series changes when Peterson walks Allen, the 9-hitter, to lead off the 8th. That whole series changes on that moment. And for me, you could argue Friday night, I know at least the Mets did get the 1 game in the middle, but Friday night, Wheeler on the mound, coming off a 3-game sweep to the Atlanta Braves, trying to show that the Philadelphia Phillies that no matter what happens with the Braves or if they're on a 6-game losing streak or not, the Mets, who swept Philadelphia earlier in the year, obviously beat them in the postseason last year, want to make the statement that I don't care what happens when other teams play us. When we play you, we kick your ass. And it was an opportunity with Wheeler versus Tidwell, about as dramatic a pitching advantage as anyone could have. You have Wheeler on the ropes in the first inning. You got the bases loaded, one out, and Jeff McNeil hits into a double play. And from that moment, to me, changed the entire series and set the tone for the entire 3 games. Because they had an opportunity to make a statement early against one of the best pitchers in baseball, and instead they don't. Even the next inning, they get the leadoff man on, can't do anything. But that bases loaded double play was a killer, and it set the tone for the entire series. Yes, Jeff McNeil hits a home run to tie the game later. I don't care. To me, I never felt like the Mets were going to win that game. It was a killer double play. It set the entire tone for the series. They do score some runs, hit some home runs, including Alvarez in the ninth. And we find out earlier on Sunday after that home run in the ninth inning that he's been sent down. We've talked about that as well. We can take your calls on that as Alvarez has been sent down, having one of the just a miserable season, three home runs now, hitting his OPS is in the sixes, and he has been sent down to see if he can figure it out in the minor leagues. But they come back after a explosive offensive game on Saturday and do nothing on Sunday Night Baseball against Lizardo, pitcher with a 6 ERA on the season, has been a miserable disaster for the Philadelphia Phillies this year, and they can't do anything, and they get blown out in this one. The Mets will welcome in the Atlanta Braves, no rest for the weary, bringing back the opponent they can't seem to beat, although they got some bad news for Chris Sale. But the New York Yankees, off a series win, head to Cincinnati. The Mets welcome in the Atlanta Braves again, and our baseball season is well underway as we get closer and closer to the All-Star break, closer and closer to the trade deadline, and we try and figure out who these teams are during this stretch where the Yankees continue to struggle and the Mets have now lost 8 of 9.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right. 342. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. So, you know, we've been talking a lot about the calf injury leading to the Achilles injury, which we saw last night, unfortunately, for Tyrese Haliburton, who went down pounding the floor in Game 7 of the NBA Finals in the first quarter. And he's been dealing with this, calf injury. And he played through it in Game 6, played through it now in Game 7. And, you know, we've been talking a little bit about it. And it came to my attention that I'm just talking about it after. I mean, I'm just rehashing what we've seen now. But we have someone here who works at WFAN who has the ability to see into the future and to predict these injuries before they happen. And it's kind of scary because a couple weeks ago, not very long ago, on the morning show, Boomer Esiason was talking about how the Mets have all these starting pitchers coming back from injury. They have Manaea, hopefully is about a week away or so. I think he's having one more rehab start before hopefully rejoining the rotation. Obviously, Montas has already joined the team. I know they haven't. I don't know if they've taken him off the IL just yet, but they've pretty much designated him for pitching in the Atlanta series coming up here. And so the question was, well, what's going to happen? We have all these guys pitching fairly well. Who's going to fit into the rotation where? Blah, blah, blah. And Boomer Esiason very astutely said, you know, these things work themselves out. We've been saying that a lot with injuries. The Yankees, same thing, shuffling all these guys. You know, Marcus Stroman at the start of the year, no room for him in the rotation. What happens? Well, these things work themselves out. And Boomer actually even just said, you know, someone's going to pull in a hamstring. And that night, Kodai Senga pulls his hamstring. Oh, that afternoon, 6 hours later. Boomer says someone in the rotation is going to pull a hamstring and boom. Senga goes down. So apparently, with that already in mind, before Game 6, discussing the NBA Finals and Tyrese Haliburton and dealing with a calf injury, Boomer was pontificating and thinking about what could possibly happen in such a scenario. And it's starting to get freaky.
Here's the thing about calf strains. What comes next?
The Achilles.
That's right. Mm-hmm. If he tries to play, he'll do it because, you know, it's do or die situation. Maybe he'll throw up some threes, but you know, he's got to be thinking about his career too. They got to be thinking about his career.
Mm-hmm.
Calf strain, Achilles. Calf strain, Achilles. I'm telling you.
Careful. You have a tendency to speak things into existence here. So,
it's only because of experience where we've seen before. I mean, it's not like Boomer's rooting for a torn Achilles.
I'm not rooting for anything like that. I'm saying that I can't imagine him playing. You know, and I know that, you know, the hockey players are different. Everybody talks about this, but this is a real thing in professional sports with these athletes.
Kevin Durant, Aaron Rodgers.
Calf strain, boom, Achilles. Calf strain, Achilles. It seems like one comes right after the other, and I don't know. I would be surprised to see him playing.
I mean, it's scary. The guy, I mean, he literally just said, I'd be surprised he plays. Calf strains, Achilles. He nailed it. How does he know this? And now I'm scared. I got to be honest with you, because when I first got this job, they pulled me into the studio and he told me, you know, pretty much that he's scared for me, that if I don't lose weight, I'm not going to see my kids growing up. I'm terrified.
I believe you're going to die soon.
I mean, it's possible. Don't put that on me, Boomer. Take it back. How does he know this? Someone in the Mets rotation is going to pull a hamstring 6 hours later. A calf muscle, Achilles. Calf strain, Achilles. He said it just like that 4 or 5 times. And then Halliburton goes down. How does he know this? Give me the answers, Boomer. Tell me what's next. What's coming next? What's happening next? Who's getting hurt next?
Calf strain, Achilles. Calf strain, Achilles.
He knew it. The rest of us mortals just react to these injuries. Very few are able to predict them. The great Boomer Esiason nailed it. Unbelievable. And like I said, now I'm concerned about myself. I better start doing this losing the weight thing, because I've been warned. I've been warned by someone with superhuman knowledge beyond anything we can comprehend. 888-808-1019. And it's, you know, I'm having some fun. It is amazing. He said that. Fleegs played me the audio. I was like, man. And the Sanga thing I remember too. He's an athlete. He knows what he's talking about. And clearly, I mean, we have seen it before. To Gio's point, you know, I'm having fun. But to Gio's point, you know, we have seen it. That's what I was saying. We've seen it. It is now, without question, the scariest injury you can have. The scariest minor. You know, if you have a strain, you'd rather have a hamstring. You'd rather have a quad. You'd rather have almost anything. Or at least, I shouldn't say that, because maybe you can heal easier from it than other injuries, but it's the least one you want to mess around with. Let me put it that way. When you have a calf strain, you let that thing heal. You do not mess around with it. You do not play through it. Now, look, he took it into his own hands. I don't blame him necessarily. I know you got to think about your career. They have gotten better with these surgeries. We've seen guys come back and play well. Durant still has played well. Kobe Bryant came back and played well. Not as well as at the end of his career, kind of. We'll see what him and with Tyrese Halliburton and Tatum can do coming off of this injury. We'll see. It's not necessarily he'll never be the same again. We'll see. I understand it for a game 7 of the NBA Finals. I mean, he may never get back here again. But there is no doubt, barring, you know, this kind of importance, you know, barring the idea that you're in a postseason series of the NBA Finals, you do not play through calf injuries. I think we are establishing that now. That would be the last thing you play through. You want to figure out a way to play through a high ankle sprain. You want to figure out a way to play through, you know, an oblique strain, a lat strain, a hamstring strain, a quad strain, or whatever. Bicep strain, tricep strain. You want to try and get through that for an important game or play through injury. You know, obviously, you know, play through a broken pinky toe, no big deal. You have a calf strain, you do not move off the couch until that until there is no pain in there and it has healed completely. Because we are seeing devastating Achilles injury after devastating Achilles injury. And it makes you sick to your stomach. You feel terrible. You see that all too familiar pop and vibration through the calf muscle. It's, you know it immediately. We've all been conditioned to see it and know it. It sucks, man. I feel terrible for Halliburton. It is a long, grueling process, man. He's going to miss all of next year. You got to be careful. Limo driver Ed, what's up, Ed?
Hey, brother, I can tell you right now, I was 320 pounds before I got the gastric bypass in 2012, and I popped mine down in Florida. And I drove down, my son and his buddy, they flew down. I picked them up at the airport, but I was having a problem with my calf, you know, and I would never thought about it because I wasn't an athlete at that time, but I was playing tennis. I went to go serve, and you know how you lift off?
Yeah.
Wow. And it felt like I got, let me tell you, it felt like I got shot, to tell you the truth about it, but even with Rodgers, I knew when he was in training camp, I said, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Because the thing, even though, listen, bro, even though if you let him heal, it's been worn out. You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
And the technology is much better than the way, because they gave me a synthetic, you know, how they did mine. And but the thing is that regardless of what, it's going to reoccur. It doesn't make a difference. That's what, you know, my doctor was telling me. He said, even though if it heals or whatever, you feel better, it's worn out.
Are you talking about the initial calf injury? You're talking about once you get the surgery that it's likely to happen again with the Achilles?
No. Like you said, is let it heal, you know, relax yourself. Now it does make a difference. Because one thing about it is it's been worn out already. It's to the limit. The calf is just telling you that, okay, you got this problem that's going on right now. Something's about to pop in the future. It's worn out. That's the whole thing. You can't let that thing go.
I guess. I appreciate what you're saying. I know you went through it personally, and I typically would answer you're not a professional athlete, but I understand what you're saying. But I don't know if I'd have to talk to a doctor to tell me that every calf strain is an indication that eventually an Achilles heel is going to go. Like, I don't know if we're there. Like, if you have a calf strain, that doesn't it means you strained your calf. It doesn't automatically mean that your calf is worn out to the point where eventually you're going to pull out your Achilles heel. Like, we have seen guys who have, like, it's not like, oh, I had a calf strain 2 years ago, and so now I have the Achilles. We're seeing guys pushing through current calf injuries, and that's when they get hurt. He's dealing with a calf injury, there it goes. Rodgers had a calf injury all of training camp, there it went. Durant was dealing with a calf injury in the NBA Finals, there it went. It's not... I mean, again, I'm not saying you're wrong that the calf muscle is worn out and like all of us kind of could be dealing with this. At any moment, you could have no calf injury and have your Achilles pop. I don't remember if I don't remember if Kobe had a calf injury at the time. I don't remember if Vinny Testaverde had a calf injury at the time. Like, it could just happen. But I don't know if we're at the point where any calf injury at any time for whatever reason is an indication that no matter what you do with it from that point on, eventually you're going to have the Achilles injury. I don't know if we're there just yet. I think if you have a calf strain and you let it heal properly, I wouldn't think you're any more liable of or you know to have a Achilles injury than anybody else. We're talking about guys who are currently dealing with a calf strain or dealing with some sort of calf injury. Don in Fort Lee, what's up, Don?
What's up, Christopher? How you doing tonight?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good, thanks. By the way, I think I told you this before. Obviously, when you started at the Fan, you learned under the pioneers with Francesa and Mad Dog. Those are two of the best people to learn under. So, and to me, you emulate his style and the way he speaks. And you're both from Long Islanders, so. You've always reminded me of Mike. You're like Mike with a lot more patience with the callers to me.
Yeah, I mean, I get that from time to time. I did work with him for 7 years. Russo, not so much. I didn't really learn under Russo. I worked with him a couple times. Unfortunately, you know, Mike and the Mad Dog broke up really while I was just getting started. So I didn't get a chance to work with Chris all that much. I did work with Mike for 7 years. I'm sure he rubbed off on me in some way. Absolutely, and we are both Italian kids from Long Island, so maybe we do have a similar speech pattern or whatever, but There's no doubt he probably rubbed off on me in some way, but I don't ever remember Mike singing the open or calling him or calling him or making jokes about how fat he is. But so I feel like
I feel like
I'm a little bit different than Mike. But certainly, if you're going to emulate somebody, certainly one of the greats to emulate. That's for sure.
Yeah, Mike was absolutely amazing. He really was. And
still is.
But
still has the podcast.
Still is. I listen to the podcast. I love Mike's podcast.
Let's just get to the point because we only have like the top of the hour.
So I don't know. I'm a huge Met fan. I can't believe how they could go from a team looking so dominant and so good in every phase to looking lifeless the last eight games. I mean, I know I had to add seven home runs in that one game all solo, but besides that game, they've just looked horrendous offensively and pitching wise.
Yeah, no, it happened really quickly here. The pitching was bound to falter. It's kind of happened to everybody. They've dealt with injuries as well. You lost McGill. You lost Sanga. You got guys coming back just now, but you lost a couple guys. Paul Blackburn gave you one good start and then wasn't very good out of the bullpen or his second start against Atlanta. Griffin Canning is starting to come back to earth. I mean, he wasn't going to pitch to a 2-3 ERA the entire season. Clay Holmes has had a little bit of not being able to go deep into the games over the last couple of stretches. One mandated by management with an 85 pitch limit, and the other one just by ineffectiveness. But like, he hasn't been all that bad. He's just not giving you a lot of depth. The bullpen, you know, some of the guys, Reed Garrett had a really brutal outing after being really great all year and getting out of all those jams. Instead, he couldn't get an out the other night. Brazoban, who's been great for them, has had a couple of moments here. Like, the bullpen is starting to falter a little bit. It's all kind of happening all at once. No doubt about it. And the offense just really, this isn't new. The offense has kind of struggled this entire year with runners in scoring position. And the pitching staff's been carrying them. And the minute the pitching staff is starting to falter, the offense has not been able to pick it up. And they did for one game, but it hasn't been good enough.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.